What's going on, Bodicey World? This is welcome to Whiskey Wednesday on May 20th, 2026. Our fearless leader, Sean Moore, is on vacation in Hawaii and was unable to join us today. So it'll be myself and as I like to call him, STR Design Jesus, my friend Joe, over here, joining us from Dallas, Texas. Dive into some things here, guys. As we kind of start these shows off, we appreciate you guys listening as always. You know, more than anything, if you know, you can check the show notes for anything we're talking about, the articles we're bringing up. And also, we have a survey. We would love for you guys to take the survey. It takes 3 to 5 minutes. Every response matters. What can we do to make this Whiskey Wednesday podcast better? Right. Going right into some topics for the day. So, you know, big shout out to Jake here behind managing all the controls and all the audio and all the visual, making sure we look as good as we possibly can with as little AI as possible. Right.
Yeah.
Right,
thanks for the filters, Jake. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Jake. So it's just some of these grays, man. I'd really appreciate that. So we got Memorial Day coming up this weekend. AAA is projecting 39.1 million people will travel by car for Memorial Day weekend, making road trips the dominant choice. My wife and I are actually heading down to our condo in Hilton Head on Sunday for a one-night stay. We've actually never stayed down there during the peak season. So we're going to go down there and experience our investment right there in the thick of it and give you guys some feedback on it.
Enjoy Mike, what do you get? Traffic.
You know, we luckily get to travel in when we want and travel out when we want. So we're going to try to man that process for about 3 hours and take some back roads.
So we are going to actually head about an hour and a half south of Dallas to a lake house that we are just wrapping up the installation of. And this one's really cool. It's a Vodacy member. They've got a very phenomenal lake for bass fishing over there, and they do a lot of guided tours. So you can literally stay at the house, go right to the back dock, jump on a boat, and take an all-day guided tour, drop you right back off at the house, clean the fish, done and done. And I think that's a really cool trend that we're starting to see a lot of, are adding these extra experiences to the short-term rental where you can literally have chefs come and cook. You can have people come and do DIY crafts or different types of lessons for things at the property, or leave straight from the property to go do a really cool little adventure. So since the team's there, it's Memorial Day weekend and we're setting it up, we figured we might as well just bring some of our littles over. Since the team's on an install and just make a day out of it and take the day off right in the middle of the install.
And you guys are a pretty big family company. Pretty much everyone in that company is in some way, you know, not 6 degrees, but 1 or 2 degrees of separation from you, right?
So. Yeah. Yeah. Except for the littles, you know, and everybody else is doing something in the business. It's a lot of fun. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to someone just this morning about a property that they're designing, and they were talking about this weekend and they have a unit where it could have two, it's an upstairs that could be broken into two separate units in one house. And they were like, we're thinking about putting this as two units because like we were talking to people about Memorial Day and how they were just looking for places that that were just like couples retreats. And this, we thought, man, we could have a family on one side and a couples retreat on the other and target those people. And I was like, yeah, I just think that's a horrible idea. You know, it's like, if I'm doing a couples retreat, the last thing I want to be is in like the upper bedroom while a family's downstairs. Like, oh, right, we'll make that common space. I was like, yeah,
That's not the common space I want to share.
No, that's the jam and cram mentality. Nobody wants that. You know, the whole point of that stat about everyone driving, that's what's making short-term rentals so popular right now above hotels, is these are people that don't want to go be in the throes with a whole bunch of other families or people. They want to get away. They want to drive, hit a spot, and enjoy it without having a thousand other people around. So for those of you out there thinking about maximizing your space, just always remember that this isn't just anybody USA travel-wise. These are people that are wanting to get away from the hustle and bustle of everyone else and have their own space. So don't try to cram three or four families in one house separately, you know, make it where it's a party or a group that's coming together, not separate reservations in one space. I never love that, especially for holiday weekends.
Especially, you don't know who the other people are. Right. If I'm going to travel with friends, if we're going to travel with other families, we know their dynamics, right? Even like our family, there may be certain family members that I might prefer not to travel with.
Yeah.
Right. But I know that in advance.
Right.
Right. And I might suddenly be busy that weekend. Right. You know, right. But those I don't know, that puts a lot of play. And if you start adding kids to the mix, who do you want around your kids? I'd like to know who's coming around. Right. 100%. And that's just my personal preference.
I get that question a lot where people have like a mother-in-law suite or like an over the garage suite on their house on the other side. Like, can we rent that out to someone else? And I think you make a very good point there. If I've got this giant family house and I've got my family or a couple of families there, the last thing I want is a stranger in the garage, you know, right across the street from me. Another point to what you mentioned about how many people are driving this weekend. We were actually over in Utah yesterday. Mason and I were in Garden City, about 2.5 hours north of Salt Lake, about 1.5 hours north of Ogden. Didn't have time to stop by Vodacy HQ on our way out because I had to get back to Dallas, but, we got there and we had to go and adjust some artwork and stuff at this lake house. Incredible views, incredible drive. But my son Mason made a comment to me. He said, you know, I feel like sometimes we go to these places and I'm like, who's actually coming here? Like who's flying in, getting in a car and driving 3 hours to come to the middle of nowhere? It's beautiful. It's amazing. But like, Why do people do this? And I told him that. I said, you know, it's not necessarily that someone's getting in a plane from Dallas, flying to Salt Lake City, getting in a car and driving 3 hours. Just like when we're doing houses in Blue Ridge, Georgia, I'm not flying necessarily to Atlanta, getting in a car and driving an hour, hour and a half north. Or same thing with like Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge. The reality is these major cities are fueling that. Salt Lake City is fueling that, not Dallas, right?
Right.
But just like Broken Bow, 3 hours north of Dallas, I'm hopping in a car and driving. But I think Dallas is literally, it's not Oklahoma City. It's Dallas
Dallas, maybe Shreveport a little bit.
Right. But these aren't people jumping in planes. This is the new trend in vacationing. And I'm always giving advice to people who are looking on that acquisition side. Like, how do I know? Look at a major city that's within 2 to 3 hours of where you are. We do installs that feel like we're in the middle of nowhere. Like, why would anyone come here? Well, the answer is there's some major city that has millions of people within a couple of hour, 2-3 hour drive where people want to get away from that city, but they don't necessarily want to get on an airplane, fly somewhere and do something. They just want to hop in their car and drive 2 to 3 hours and relax, get away from the hustle and bustle of that major city that they're living in. Chicago is a great example. We've done so many installs around the Great Lakes or just these pockets that feel like nonsense towns. But the truth is they're really, you can create these amazing destination drive to properties that are just anchored by a major city within a few hours that people just hop in the car and go to. So There's this trend. I think every year, Josh, we're just going to see the drive tos just get bigger and bigger and bigger as the available destinations of STRs just get bigger and bigger every year.
Right. And I think, you know, when you look at, you know, how we do, when we look at how we find the right property in the right location, right? We like saturation. Saturation is that clear indicator of consumer demand. I'm not worried about competition because I don't plan to be average. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's really easy. I mean, everybody wants the view, but nobody wants to climb. And the top is lonely for that reason. Right. But if you come into that game and you say, I'm going to do the bare minimum to get this property up and running, I'm going to do the bare minimum to get this property operational, the cheapest bed, the worst mattress, the worst linens, like a prison sheet would feel better on your skin. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it's, but I maxed out my buying box. I spent $1 million, $500,000, whatever it was. I maxed out what I had qualified for and I had no money left to get to the finish line. And now I'm saying, oh, this market is too saturated to make money. Like, you're average or below average. Yeah. And you know, there's a reason why you're in the middle there. In the middle gets messy. And that's the big thing we want to make sure that in our comp set doesn't mean the most luxurious. It doesn't mean the most expensive. It means that of properties like ours, we're the best. And not only the best, we're not comparable to the other 99. Right. That's and right. If we're going to win that, we're going to win that battle every single time. And we do not have to win it on price.
Well, I will tell you, when we're doing initial consultations with a lot of clients, I think, especially if you're new to the short-term rental game, it's very common to think of it as a house. Like, this is my other house. And Sean is always promoting a lifestyle that you never want to take a vacation from. And when, but prior to Vodacy being Vodacy, it was Lifestyle University, right? The idea was, let me get a lifestyle asset, an asset that I love visiting. I love being a part of. But over the years, I've tried to reshape that thinking as it lands into my sandbox to say, look, love the place you're going, but don't think of this as your house that you're designing for you to love for the 1 or 2 weeks. Like you just mentioned, I've never been to this in peak time. I'm always going when nobody's booked, right?
100%.
So I'm not designing this for the one time I get to go in the off season so that I just walk in and go, yes, right? I'm designing this for the masses to love the rest of the time, even if it's not necessarily my style, which means you get out of thinking about this property as your vacation house and you start thinking about this as everyone else's micro resort. It's not a house, it's a business, right? And to right. your point, how many times have I seen a client say, well, I've got $150,000 to invest, so I can get financed at 10, where that's a 10% down. So I have $1.5 million house I can go get. That's the equivalent of saying, I've got $150,000 to invest in a business. What is the most expensive office I can buy? And then you find it. It's Fifth Avenue. It's top floor. And you're like, woo! And you walk in the doors and it's empty. And you're like, okay. Now we need to furnish it. Okay. Now we need some marketing. Okay. Now we need our actual widget and our product. If you spend all your money on the real estate, there's nothing left for the marketing, the widget, or even furnishing the office to sit in it and start thinking of those things. Now you've got to readjust and go, well, okay, if I've got 150 grand and I really need 100 grand to bring this thing to the top of the market, like you said, Josh, where there's no one competing with me because I am the thing. I'm the first choice. That leaves me 50 grand as my down payment, which at a 10% finance means I can buy a $500,000 property. And at 20%, it's a $250,000 property. All of a sudden, your whole mindset has to shift to not just what is the best thing I can acquire, but what is the best thing I can acquire while still leaving this bucket over here to make it the best property in its class so that right. everybody is racing to me and I'm not racing to the bottom. And I think that's a big mistake that people make is I want to be number one in the market. Well, number one in the market means several different things. There's number one overall, and we do have that. We have about 100 Vodacy properties that are number one overall in 100 unique markets in the country, which is astonishing, okay? But then we also have 1,000 properties that are in the number one of their class or top 1% of the marketplace overall for what they are. So when we say, oh, it's you are a three-star property. Well, I'm never going to be number one as a three-star property. That's not true. You can be the number one three-star property in your weight class. Right. That's why in boxing and wrestling and mixed martial arts, there's classes, right? It's not just the biggest guy wins because a heavyweight would in most cases be able to annihilate a featherweight, right? So I think of houses kind of like boxing. A three star is like a featherweight, a four star is kind of like a middleweight, and a five star luxury is a heavyweight. And you're those fighters aren't boxing each other to be the top, right? They're fighting everyone in their weight class. And how much money you have to bring to the table is a derivative of your class. And sometimes you've got to adjust your expectations down as you're building this business so that you don't spend all of your operating capital on the office space before you buy the widget.
You know, you touched on this earlier, and one thing that we hone in, and you know, I do a lot, I wear many different hats for Bodicy, right? And I talk to a lot of investors before they even get into this game, and like, is this asset class right for me, for my family? And I'm like, well, what are your goals, right? Mm-hmm. And goals matter. Where do you want to go, right? And they're saying, hey, I want to go to Destin. I want to go to Whitefish, Montana, mm-hmm. right? I love it there, and that's great. But these are markets to where those numbers look very differently than they might in a Blue Ridge or a Broken Bow. Yes. If you're chasing cash flow, you're probably not going to Whitefish, Montana. Right. If you're chasing cash flow, you're probably not going to a Destin. If you're chasing internal rate of return, right? If you're chasing appreciation, if you're chasing tax benefits, if you're chasing a lifestyle asset, those numbers may speak more to you. And there's actually an article we're going to cover on here in a little bit, talking about AirDNA, which is our favorite data source. We use a lot of different data sources. AirDNA, we are their largest client. We use a lot of their data sources to where their top 10 markets, none of them are places on a beach. None of them are a place in the mountains. These are all mid-sized cities that have urban growth. Right. And they have urban demand, whether it be from college universities, whether it be from medical demands, whether it be from AI data centers mm-hmm. being built in the area. Right. And these are markets that on cash flow or the yield based upon the acquisition price looks really good. But your appreciation is the same as you living in, you know, middle of Kansas.
Right.
Right. And no offense to Kansas. But in general, it's not. Right. But there's not a lot of needle moving there on the long term gain of things. But your goals are going to matter. If you don't have those goals aligned, you don't know what that North Star is. You're going to end up lost and you're going to end up chasing a ferry that you may never catch. Yeah. Right. And so when we look at those properties, you know, you don't have to be like to your point, you know, you don't need to have the Fifth Avenue penthouse office to be successful in this space. Right. If that's what you want. And that's what you're going after. That may not be a cash flow play. That may be a longer term hold. That may be a big tax play into an appreciation resell down the road. And that game is perfectly fine to play. We have many members that do that at a very high level, but we need to understand all of the numbers that are involved, not just a simple, what's my cash flow back in my pocket?
100%. And you're right. We have a lot of clients that have that net worth or that bucket of resources that they need to offload for tax purposes, or they just want a really high-end bougie house on the beach or in the mountains. You know, you get into Montana, you're talking crazy money to get a top-tier property over there. No different than, you know, in Dallas where we live, you can take $1 million for your personal home and have a 5,000 square foot house. You take that money to Chicago, and $1 million is getting you 2,500 square feet in an okay Maybe. Place, right. You know, not even a nice neighborhood,
yeah.
right? And it's relative. And I think that's a really important thing to realize is that you can be insanely successful by dialing in to a mid-tier market that has really huge numbers. So it does really come down to, what are your goals? Is this truly, have I been in the game for a while? And that's kind of the lifestyle asset methodology is you start where the dollars you have indicate that you should begin. And you don't outpunt the coverage. You go with what the metrics say. This puts you at the top for what you have to spend. And then you roll it up until you're in your fifth house. And now you're going, ooh, this one's for me.
Right.
Right. And we do have a handful of clients that come in and say, this one's for me right out of the gate, because that's where they're at. But the vast majority of our clients from Vodicy are rolling it up. They're walking it up from start to finish.
I mean, it is a business. Right. And businesses take effort. There is no easy button in this space. No. Again, in some of these conversations I have that maybe the investors are not right for Vodicy. And it's like, hey, I hear you guys have 20 and 30% cash on cash returns. Like we do. Right. Well, cool. I want that. Well, great. This is what it takes to get there. Oh, yeah. I don't want to do that. Well, you know, that takes the effort, right? And that just may not be the right space. And, you know, this may not be where we want to go. And that's why we have these conversations on the front end to say, does this align with your goals and your position and where you're trying to go today and tomorrow?
That's right. It's really funny too, because a lot of times when I do meet with the high net worth clients that are still looking for that cash return, we talk about the markets they're going to, like, oh, I don't want to be in that market. I want to be here. It's like, oh, well, in that market, we're going to spend 5 times the money to yield that kind of return. There's some markets where in order to get the money, you got to be at the top.
There's sweet spots, right? We got to know the sweet spot, right? And does it make sense for what you're trying to purchase? And we need to understand that. That's one layer of the onion,
yeah.
Right? And there's a lot more underneath there. We have to talk about, you know, designing, developing that unique and immersive guest experience. That's the second layer. And yeah. There's more. You know, but wait, there's more, right? And if you don't hone in on all these fundamentals, a straw, sticks, and brick, right? If we build that foundation on the straw, we build it on sticks, eventually that house is gonna blow down, right? Yep. We build it the right way from the ground up, and we get that base hit that turns into an in-the-park home run. We don't need that home run to break even, right? And that's a lot safer position to play. And, you know, we can swing for the fences on the second or third or fourth property, right? But that first property, let's make it make sense. Let's understand this asset class. Let's get our feet underneath us and get going, right? And the momentum will carry us forward.
And if you're coming in and you're watching this and you're thinking about getting into the STR space, there's two things that I always like to tell people. Anyone can do this. Like the short-term rental game is not for the ultra rich. I think a lot, that's a big misconception. Like, oh, you got to really be rolling to have a short-term rental. It really isn't. This is for the blue to white collar range worker that has been saving up some money. You can do this and you can start small. I have a lot of clients that start with a 500 square foot condo and they're walking that up, right? It's not the idea that you have to go big. I actually highly, even if you've got the financial resources, I recommend going small, because you don't understand what you don't know until you get in the middle of it. And being a part of Odyssey, you have rapid acceleration of avoiding potholes and pitfalls because there's so many experts and professionals around that are helping you avoid those things. But you still don't know what you don't know. And right. I look at every 1,000 square feet as a problem multiplier on your very first time, right? So start with 1,000 square feet and then you have 1,000 square foot problems. But when you start with 5,000 square feet, because you think that that's what it takes to be successful, you have a 5,000 multiplier of problems right out of the gate, that what we have to solve times one on a smaller property as you're coming in has to be solved times five, right? Which requires 5 times the resources, 5 times the headaches, and 5 times the issues. And I don't want to set it up to say like, oh man, STR is just nothing but problems. But when you're first getting into it, it is a lot to do, because it's just like, you know, moving your own home. There's a lot to think about when you buy a new house and you're moving into it and you're setting it up and you're thinking of, how is my family going to live in this? How are we going to function when you're shopping for a home? It's very similar, but here you're thinking about guests and you have to stay in the sandbox that you can afford to stay in, that gives you the ability to do what needs to be done to perform at the top. And like I said, even if you can afford a bigger sandbox, you should still start small, understand the variables, and then you can absolutely pinpoint what right. to do with your resources on the next one.
100% agree. We have a couple topics here we'll run through. Today's May 20th. Later today, Brian Chesky, you know, founder of Airbnb, is going to step on stage and he's going to drop some new stuff for the summer release, right? Some of the stuff that we know is coming up. So this release will be the clearest signal yet that Airbnb is becoming a lifestyle platform spanning stays, hotels, services, and experiences, all increasingly stitched together by their rapidly developing AI rather than just search filters and your basic ranking. Stuff we're expecting to see, or we know, is already coming out. Easier listing creation and smarter host tools, essentially setting up your listing. They're making it even easier to get that listing going. I'm still not a fan of a lot of the things they have in place, like photo tour and all that. I hope As an operator myself, I hope the masses continue to use those things, because when we don't use those things, we can elevate beyond them very simply by sequencing our own photos. So, you know, we can dive into that a different day. Secondly, is expansion of Airbnb services and experiences. Even simply, okay, the other day I get a message from Airbnb, not as a host, but as just a consumer on my app, and says, hey, book a stay and get, you know, $20 off your Instacart order, right? That's unique, right? I'm not booking the place to get $20 off of Instacart, right? Yeah, but they're starting to integrate other factors in there to start making, saying, hey, we're bigger than just the stay now, right? Hotel products and strategy push. And one I really love here, and this is on two different articles, the increasing use of AI. This first article here is from rentalscaleup.com. And the one I'm talking about, the AI, which is this filter I really, really like right now. This one is from smartrentals.ai. How to optimize your listing for AI on Airbnb. If you go to Airbnb right now, the app or the desktop, and you go to enter a stay, you're going to look at a toolbar there. It's going to ask, where do you want to go? It's going to ask the dates. It's going to ask the number of guests. And now the fourth box is basically just type in what you want, right? You can say pickleball. You could say, hey, I'm looking for something within 200 yards or 200 meters of a trailhead, of a beach, whatever it is. It's using native language, and then it's going into the listings that exist in that market that have your bedroom count or guest count for those date ranges, and using that language, that native language, to pull up these properties. So say for like pickleball, you could type in pickleball, and if that listing maybe doesn't say pickleball in the headline, but it talks about pickleball in the listing or has photos of pickleball, like a private court or access, guess what? Now that listing rockets the top of that search. This is not necessarily – basically what we're saying is now we can look at the listing beyond just our title, beyond just that first cover photo. And now that AI is starting to develop how to find your stay. And if you have a desirable listing, if you've got it set up in place and you're talking well in natural language about what your property has to offer, you're going to benefit on finding your target audience and helping your target audience find you.
So let me light into that a little bit on how that applies to how you decor your property, right? We've known that this has been coming for years. There's been talk of this. You've been seeing these search parameters be implemented on every major searching platform and searching engines, that it becomes a more conversational search. And the advancements of AI, even if you just look at like generating an image, just a year ago versus right now, it's infinitely grown and expanded because it learns from itself so quickly, right? So in the decor component of this, to your point, let's say that I'm in there and I'm like, well, I want to talk about a beach or a attraction or a amenity that's on the property, right? So amenities are one thing. You either have them or you don't, or you're near them or you aren't, or you're in a group share with amenities with other people in like a condo, apartment, or whatever type unit, right? Now, let's get past amenities and just get to attractions. A lot of people in this search are going to say, I want to be near the beach. I want romantic sunsets. I want, like, they're talking about the vibe, and the AI prompts vibe, atmosphere, experience. So by leaning into your design choices and being able to say, hey, let's look at the top reasons that people are coming to these areas. Even if I'm, say, a house that's not on the beach, but I can decor my property and give myself these giant windows and views and things that the AI is going to scrape and say, this property has these views or these elements or these experiential dynamics that are being described by the consumer. And you're leaning into the top 3, 4, 5, 6, depending on number of rooms you have, iconic thematic elements, but doing it in a classy, upscale way. And then putting the right captions underneath those things, describing the experience. All of a sudden, when a guest talks about their rooms, their location, and their price point, and they add that now experiential element to the search, instead of just coming up where you might have come up at the number 50 based on rooms, location, and price, if your decor hits all the notes of the experience that they're trying to do, all of a sudden, you're springshot to the top of that search because you're aligning on all of their data points at a much higher level, also right. giving you the ability to even compete where someone says, we're on the beach, when you've got decor all about the beach in a fully immersive way, and then talking about that in your listing and showing that in your photos, even though you might not be on the beach, because you have that fully immersive beach experience that you've created in an ecosystem or a room of the house, you have the beach vibe experience, even though you're not on the beach, allowing you as a house that's way down here off the beach to now be up here and considered, where all of a sudden the guest gets a choice. I could pay a little less and stay here, but still get the beach experience. And then they see, oh my gosh, look at that room. Look at that room. Look at that room. They get taken down this trail of narrative storytelling through the way that you've decored the property. All of a sudden you're competing because you're bringing the experience to the guest in your decor, even if you don't have the experience in the actual location of where you are. And that is why the way that you bring this to life and market it in this new ecosystem is a really big deal.
You know, another piece with that, and this is something that we harp on a great bit in Bodicy, and why our methodology is getting a review rate of 85 to 90%, you know, eight to nine out of 10 guests are leaving us a review. And you look at a lot of these big box managers that don't go through this process. They automate everything. It's not personalized, right? And they're like, oh, they're hovering at 10, 15, 20%. But now when the consumer, which is that guest, is Airbnb's customer, we're not their customer. We are their vendor. Vendors are easily replaceable. But the more of those reviews that you get mentioning the things about your property, cleanliness, communication, proximity, how easy it was to do ABCD, best place I've ever stayed, whatever it is, the more of that is, the more of that language gets attached to your listing, the easier, and the more that it's in there, the more times that's mentioned by those guests, the more the AI finds it. So part of what I'm saying as a consumer, I'm going to go to this place, I'm looking for whatever it is I'm looking for. I'm like, I want a clean unit. I want, you know, communication. I want ease of access. I want proximity or no parking problems. The more in depth they prompt that system, the more that system is going to go find what it's looking for, right? Yeah. And when we have, you know, now you have a listing that's a 2-bedroom condo, right? And you don't have a lot to show. You've got 800 square feet, 700 square feet. You've got some pictures of amenities and whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm not a 20-bedroom place, right? But if I've got 150 five-star reviews all talking about these metrics and these things, and I have a consumer looking for a place like mine now, and all my other competitors have 30 reviews, 40 reviews, I have 110 more reasons for that AI to put me ahead of everybody else. Yep. And it's so important to dial all that stuff in.
Review capital. That's what we refer to it as in office. If you're not, and again, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier of designing the widget as the business and not as just your own personal vacation, that does not mean that it's still not a lifestyle asset. You're still at a place you want to be in a house that you enjoy, but bringing it to life in a way that you're thinking about the business over your own personal choices at this point in the life cycle of that property. When you do that, you're creating review currency. And when you bring that online, you know, one of my favorite reviews is the photos don't do it justice. You're going to find that as this AI prompting component becomes more prevalent in the search, as does AI searches on ChatGPT and Grok, whatever platform you like, we all are learning to ask questions in a much more specific way, where I might have read a couple of reviews and then I go back to the AI and I ask different. I want properties where people say that the photos don't do it justice. Like, people are going to start picking up on right. these weird ways to search that the AI is going to scrape that review currency to figure out, like, all right, that's a weird search. And then all of a sudden, that's going to be a new part of the algorithm, right? We create the algorithm, but I will tell you that the algorithm also creates us, because I jokingly say all the time, because I do have a lot of kids, I feel like school shouldn't be what it has been for the last 200 years, because everything is different now. I feel like all school should be now is teaching my kids how to use and ask the right questions to technology. Because it's even at a point right now where we now rely. I just created some software for our company, and the software engineers that we work with all now brag about the fact that they can get 100 times work done infinitely faster because they are now using AI agents to help them create, right? At this point in time, even the creators are relying on the agents to help create faster, more efficiently, and execute at a higher level on every output that they're creating. So even the element of creation is now a derivative of using AI tools to create new things. So really, if you're not leaning into designs, amenities, locations, and surrounding yourself with the right marketing ecosystem that's going to generate that review capital with the whole mindset that searching these things is going to evolve and probably rather rapidly into really interesting search parameters. That's one of the things that I love about the Vodacy approach is we're constantly thinking ahead. And I feel like we're way ahead of the game on this new search dynamic.
You know, as we switch gears to this next topic that's brought up in the survey, to your point is, you know, we jokingly say the niches get the riches, right? If you speak to everyone, no one hears you. When you've targeted that specific audience for what you're trying to do or who you're trying to attract, we can really dive into it. And so if you get the survey in the show notes, you'll be able to take a survey, things you want to see in the podcast. We had a little survey answer here. People want y'all. So I'm assuming maybe a little Southerner right there, right? I'm in South Carolina, so I feel you. People want y'all to discuss intriguing new markets. So there's a new article just came out on airdna.co, and we touched on this briefly a few minutes ago. This was published back in January on these new hot new markets, right? Markets maybe we haven't talked about in the past, where people should invest, you know, where do you think people should, about overseas investing? We'll dive into that in a second too. But how much do we rely at Vodacy on these articles on you know, third-party people saying these are the hot new markets to invest in? My general approach is, well, it depends, right? Like, who's saying this is a hot new market to invest in? What makes it hot to them? Right? Is it a cash flow? Is it appreciation? Is it consumer demand? Is it, was that Frisco, Texas has the new Universal Studios going in?
Yeah. And the PGA World Headquarters.
Man. And so now imagine some of those super themed properties like we have in Orlando and being able, and it wouldn't really make sense to have a super universe Star Wars themed property maybe in Frisco, Texas normally. But now, you know what I mean? Maybe not Star Wars, but it's not Universal. But
Minions,
you know, whatever.
We've done it. We've done a few. Minions, yeah. We got Minions riding horses in Western themes in Frisco,
now
Texas.
Now it makes sense, right? And now we can come in at the top of these markets day one. I know I forget the name of the lake in Alabama, but it's about 30 minutes outside of like Huntsville, right? And that's where Space Force is going, right? And so you're going to have a lot of full-bird colonels, high-value individuals coming there. They need somewhere to vacation. And now this lake market, which is usually kind of off the beaten path, to me, that's a hot market. That's going to be a hot market in 2 to 3 years from now. Getting in the door now while those prices are still cheap, that appreciation bump's about to hit pretty hard, and you're about to have yourself a really fun time getting to the legs on that market. To me, that's a hot market, but that may not speak to Mike. That may not speak to John Doe over here, right? So in general, how much do you rely on these articles and people's words on new hot markets? I want to know, does it speak to me? Is it something that I'm currently looking to invest in? Does it make sense for what I'm trying to do? And that's a big piece there is like, everyone's going to have their own objective, right? AirDNA has its own objective. Airbnb has its own objective, right? And so anything that these platforms are putting out there, it's aligning with their objective. Right. If it was Airbnb and it came out and Airbnb said, hey, VRBO is the best platform ever. We love VRBO so much. That's only because they're about to acquire them. Right. Like they're not going to say that any other reason for any other way. Right. So there's always going to be a reason to behind the articles. I want to see behind that curtain, see who's really controlling Oz. And then does it fit with my goals? And Mark, and you know, Mike, and you know, you're on the install side of a lot and creation and install of a lot of these properties. So you get to go to places. Not as vacation, but as work,
yeah.
Right? And you see a lot of demand in specific hubs, right? And you'll see, hey, you know, Vodacy, you know, coming into Branson, Marathon, Florida, these major markets where you're going there multiple times a year. You know, I went there once a couple of years ago, and now I've been there 7 different times. To me, from what we do at Vodacy, that's a good indicator of what we feel are good emerging markets because you – and your team are going out there and developing the top properties.
Yeah, I can tell you based on where we're seeing it, what the first thing to your point is, what is the angle, right? What's the perspective that someone is saying this is hot? Okay. For me, the perspective is always cash flow, right? I say all the time, if the property is for you personally or it's your personal home, we are not the right firm to address your wants and needs, because those are what we call emotional-based decisions and not customer-based decisions. Our design technique and style is designed for customer-based emotion generation and output, not the homeowner's personal emotional-based decisions and outputs. So first and foremost, if you're asking that question from a perspective of a place where I could build my dream pad but still have it be successful down the road, that mindset's just not going to work, because you're not going to be happy there and you're not going to design the property to make it maximize what that shift or that buildup is, okay? So I think that you first and foremost have to separate yourself into two buckets. You're either designing this as a business or you're designing this as your personal lifestyle asset. That changes the way that you look at emerging or popular markets. If it's for you, it needs to be where you want to be, numbers aside. If it's a business, now we peel the layers of that onion back, right? It starts with how much money do I have to invest versus the house and what needs to be invested to bring it to life. That automatically eliminates expensive emerging markets. Or do I need to look at something that's a value market? When we look at the places in Vodacy where we have one house that goes in, we bring in our unique style and it explodes, then you're going to see another Vodacy member go, oh, wow, that really worked over there. And there's only one Vodacy house there. Let's bring another one. And then it explodes. Branson is a great example. We did one there. It just instantly became the top property in the market. Then we did two, three. I think we're up to like 20 something houses there, to the point that now the property managers that were competing with us there are now joining Vodacy because they've tried to reverse engineer our style and methodology and they could not successfully execute it. So they just, it's like, if you can't beat them, join them, right? Branson is a very affordable market to get into that generates an enormous amount of upside because a lot of people visit Branson. I call Branson like the little cousin of Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge. And there's a lot of drivability to Branson, okay, from a lot of different places. Marathon, you mentioned in the Keys. It's not Key West. It's not Key Largo. It's right in the middle. And the reason that Marathon is such an emerging market is because the houses there are very old and the styling there is very old and very, very, very like back in time. So when you drop in something that's fresh and current in a market, that's a 365-day market for people coming to fish, snorkel, dive, the weather's always good. You create this set of variables that makes it obviously successful, but it's a little more expensive to buy a house on an island than it is to buy one in the Ozark foothills, right?
But you're also not getting any more land there in Marathon. No, the houses that are there, that's about what you got, right?
Branson keeps on expanding, right?
Right.
And now you'll be in Hollister, but still calling it Branson, you know? The Blue Ridge Mountains, north of Atlanta, a huge emerging market because Atlanta just keeps feeding all of these people into the foothills of the mountains to just get away from the big city. And I see tons of little places like that. Like we mentioned earlier, Broken Bow blowing up, you know, when you go to Broken Bow, everything looks brand new and modern mountain and current and hip because they're just building new things everywhere because people love just getting away for the weekend and then coming back home. You know, one of the things that I'm constantly trying to get people to understand is you only have to win 40 times a year. And by winning, I mean being the first choice of someone booking a vacation. you don't have to have, this isn't a fast food restaurant or some widget that you have to sell thousands and thousands of to be successful. You have to sell yourself 40 times a year to be successful. You have to appeal to 40 customers to be the first choice. That's it. You will be successful with 40 customers annually. And if you set this thing up right, it's almost impossible not to get 40 happy customers. And we do visit these weird places, but I think they always have two things in common. Either something new, like you mentioned Frisco. I've been on the Frisco train, you know this, for at least 2 years. I've been screaming it at the top of my lungs. Guys, the Dallas Cowboys moved their headquarters there. PGA moved their headquarters there. Universal Studios is putting their first ever family-oriented theme park there. And there's about 100 other things there and lakes and all this stuff to do. And we've had one Vodacy member get a property there, you know, because people were looking at it from a lifestyle as a perspective going, I don't really want to just get in Dallas and go up here and do a thing when I'm not a Cowboys fan and I'm not this. If you get really emotional about it, then that means you're looking for you, right? But I know that that one house that we did there, they're way ahead of the game and they're already successful, okay?
You know, and that's a great point to transition here, you know, through as we start getting towards the end of our time, you know, to our final remarks, to what you said, the person's way ahead. You know, should you buy now? Well, the best time to buy real estate, the best time to plant a tree was yesterday, right? And that member who bought a few years ago, they've got equity in place. They've got appreciation growing. They're developing their book of business without having full dependency on those OTAs, those online travel agencies. They're way ahead of the game. And arguably, properties can come in way better than theirs, way newer than theirs, but they're in a way worse debt position than that member is right now, right? And that's a great way to look at it. Right now, we have such a wide gap in between the buyers and the sellers. That if you're a buyer now versus back during, you know, COVID 2021, that era right there, right? You have a lot more leverage to negotiate with that seller. And we are marrying the property. We are dating the rate, right? Are we going to see a 2.9 rate again? I mean, probably not, right? And if we did, right? I mean, you're going to be paying for that in a different way, right? And it's not going to be like the prices stay the same and this rate happens. That's not how the market's going to respond, right? How to join Vodacy, right? How do we get to be the top of the market? How do we get to come in and use, you know, your services? How do we get to come in as the top 1%, you know, within a year of any market we step foot in? And that says, go join us at support@vodacy.com. Check out vodacy.com, a ton of free resources. We have this podcast comes out twice a week. It's been coming out twice a week for years at this point. Dive into those resources, hit subscribe on that. The only thing that we ask every single time is share this episode, share this podcast. We don't advertise. This is just who we are. And I think we hit 500,000 downloads a couple weeks ago. So it's a big step as we move forward, right? So next week, Sean, the cowboy hat, the man, the myth, the legend will be back. Mike and I are looking forward to joining him back. Hoping him and his family are having a great time in Hawaii. And Mike, this is Whiskey Wednesday. I don't know if you were able to get any for you yourself know, here.
I've got it behind me. But the reality is I'm on Coffee Wednesday today because I've got a Vodacy coaching call right after this. And, I got to be fully dialed in. So I'm on Caffeine Wednesday at the moment.
Fair. So we'll say Whiskey Wednesday and Caffeine Wednesday. But as always, as we wrap this thing up, cheers, my friends.
Cheers.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey Grace, is there a website?
Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit vodacy.com.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.